I'm Patricia Jackson. I'm the leader of our prudential advisory practice across EMEA.
I'm Alan Hilton. I also work in the risk practice. I was speaking at the breakfast this morning on the subject of CRD4.
So really the main focus was to think about the difficulties that firms are going to have in implementing CRD4, and in particular the huge range of changes that there are to the rules and how firms need to identify all of the changes that affect them and change their policies and procedures.
Well, CRD4 is the Capital Requirements Directive, which is Europe's implementation of Basel III. The thing about it is that the legislation this time comes as both a directive and a regulation. The regulation part, which contains quite a lot of the substance of the rules, is aimed directly at firms and bypasses national supervisors. So it changes the nature of banking regulation for a lot of our clients.
It also sweeps up not just Basel III, but also Basel II, 2.5 and 3, and that opens the entire prudential rulebook and then creates rules around it, overriding all of the rules that people have currently been using, which were issued by the FSA. Banks have got to start working out how they're going to be compliant with CRD4, because the new rules come in at the end of this year, and everyone's going to have to be able to set out how they're compliant. We had a panel this morning with the heads of the programs from some of the major banks and also the BBA, and the firms were making the point that they're going to have to be able to demonstrate and document why they are compliant. And the changes are buried throughout the rule book. So something like 29% of the current rules, thousands of lines of rules, get removed. Another 20% get overridden by the new requirements coming out of CRD4. And Alan can say something about the mapping work that we did for the BBA and the major banks, which really highlights this huge area of change. So yes, more is coming, but you've got to deal with this part first, really.
The basis of the mapping was from the industry. They were very keen to understand in detail, line by line, how the existing rule book would be affected by the new legislation. And so they asked Ernst & Young to undertake this piece of work across the chapters of the FSA handbook to outline in detail how the rules would be changed. This was a substantial piece of work for us, but it has already found use in the largest six banks in the UK, and a number of other firms have taken it up since we did the work for the British Bankers Association.
Certainly the PRA will be asking firms whether they are compliant, whether they have met all of the changes, have they identified the changes, have they got owners for them, and so on. And it is very, very hard to do that if you haven't isolated all of the changes line by line. And that's why we were asked by the British Bankers Association to carry out this piece of work, which was an absolutely mammoth task.
But certainly the industry is still, I think, coming to terms with the scale of it. They're still looking to understand the scope and to identify which areas are subject to further change, because that was one of the key things that came across this morning. There are many areas where the European Banking Authority is either due to issue further work on technical standards, or where it has a role to monitor developments and come forth with further legislative proposals, and finally where it is tasked now in the final text with issuing guidance either to national regulators or indeed directly to firms on key aspects of implementation.
I think the thing that came as a bit of a shock to some of the banks, particularly the overseas owned subsidiaries, was that they would have to be able to document and demonstrate that they were compliant. And that point was made by one of the other banks there. And they are finding that the regulators are following up and saying, well, how can you show you've got a program in place that you are going to amend the policies and procedures? I think the UK banks started their programs, the major ones, the clearers, probably 18 months ago or so. That's when we were asked to do the mapping because they looked at the size of the task and rather balked at it. I think some banks have been focused in on the headline topics, capital changing, composition of capital changing, capital buffers, liquidity, counterparty risk, but not the fact that you've literally got hundreds and hundreds of lines where you've got changes of different magnitude. And I think it's that part which came as a bit of a shock, I think, to some of the people there. I think the vulnerability actually is just the sheer volume of regulation now is creating a huge amount of uncertainty for the firms, and it's putting all sorts of processes in the firms under strain. It's literally almost every part now of the prudential framework has gone into play, and it's very difficult for the industry to deal with that, I think.
Ernst & Young refers to the global organization of member firms of Ernst & Young Global Limited, each of which is a separate legal entity. This presentation is copyright 2013 EYGM Limited, all rights reserved. No part of this presentation may be reproduced, transmitted, or otherwise distributed in any form or by any means, electronic or mechanical, including by photocopying, facsimile transmission, recording, rekeying, or using any information storage and retrieval system without written permission from EYGM Limited. These materials contain summary information for general guidance only. Neither EYGM Limited nor any other member firm of the Global Ernst & Young organization accepts any responsibility for loss suffered by any person acting or refraining from action as a result of any information contained herein. On any specific matter, appropriate advisors should be consulted.